All right, good evening. I'd like to thank Pastor Jimenez and Verity Baptist Church for allowing me this opportunity to preach up here. I'd like to also thank the guys for getting rid of that noise. I was hoping I had an excuse. Anyone didn't want to hear what I had to say that, oh yeah, I was just listening to that. I couldn't really hear you. But you're in Hebrews chapter 11, an awesome chapter about faith. And I'd like to read the dictionary definition of faith. Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something, strong belief in God or in the doctrine of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. So tonight I'd like to preach a message about faith, if I could, comparing that pretty much to the biblical definition. And in Hebrews 11, verse number 1, the Bible reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So the title of the sermon tonight is Faith is a Victory. As we were singing the song, I was like, I probably should have said the victory, but we'll leave it at a victory. But faith is a victory, and what I want to do is discuss a few things on what faith can do for us when we have faith. And you might say, well, isn't our faith here? We're here on a Sunday night, knowing that pastor's not going to be here, knowing that I'm going to be standing up here, you know? That shows faith, does it not? But the Bible talks a lot about faith. It mentions it quite a bit. I mean, we have this one chapter here, but all throughout the history of the Bible is that God makes a pretty big deal about faith. So keep your place there in Hebrews 11 and go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we have the Apostle Paul here speaking. We'll look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul says this, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen," and that's faith, remember, complete trust, strong belief based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof, "but at the things which are not seen," the substance of things hoped for, right? "For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." These things that mean more to us, that have more eternal value. Paul goes on to say in chapter 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And in the Christian life, we walk by faith. I mean, everyone here walks by faith. Everyone that we knock on everyone's door, they walk by some sort of faith. The things that we hope for that we don't necessarily see. I mean, even in Hebrews chapter 11, all those that look for a hope. Now, our hope, we know that is Christ, right? To be with him, well, what's the evidence? Well, the evidence is the Word of God, right? We read to the end of the Bible. We know that things are coming. That's our evidence because we can physically read it. We can physically see it. But we don't necessarily go through it, right? So our hope is in him. So most people don't understand that. They won't understand that. We all basically walk and live by faith. When we go soul winning, don't we ask that question? What are you trusting in? What are you putting your faith in to get you to heaven? Most will say that they're just trusting in themselves. Well, I'm a pretty good person. You know, I try to live right. I try to do right, which is fine, which we should. But we try to help them put their faith on Christ. So we know that if they don't, they're in pretty much for a rude awakening. So tonight I'd like to give us four things to think about concerning faith and what it can do for us and what it does when we apply it. Number one, faith requires help. Faith requires help. Turn to Mark chapter 9, Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9, we see at the beginning of the chapter, we have the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he transfigures himself in his heavenly body to Peter, James, and John. We're going to pick up the story just a little bit after that when Jesus comes to his disciples, just after that, and he asks them a question. Mark chapter 9, we'll start reading in verse number 16, where Jesus asks this question. Mark 9, 16. And he asks the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Notice the response from Jesus in verse 19. He answered them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long should I suffer you? Bring them unto me. So remember, we're talking about faith. They were faithless. They didn't have complete trust or strong belief. Verse 20. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, and oftentimes hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us, and notice, help us. So he's asking for help. Faith requires help. In verse 23, Jesus says unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth, right? If you believe, if you have faith, complete trust. Verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. He doesn't have complete trust. He needs help. In your life, in my life, there are going to be times where our faith needs help, but we need to cry out to God. Though Jesus is with this man physically, we have Jesus spiritually. Sometimes we still need help with our faith. So even the disciples needed help. Drop down to verse 28. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. See, they needed help to understand that this is something that is very serious. You need more prayer. You need more fasting. And in our life, when we have faith, sometimes, you know, the faith that we have might not be enough. We might need to do more. We might need to do some fasting. We might need to do more prayer. We might need to get others involved in that prayer. That's why we have Wednesday night prayer time, right? We're praying for each other because sometimes we just need that extra help. So faith requires help. And turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 10. And we know these verses. We talk about them when we go out soul winning. One of them is our verse of the week, Romans 10, 15. But look at verse number 9, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. Verse 9 of the Bible reads that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Again, believing, right? Complete trust. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. By the way, look at verse 12. I'm not preaching on this topic tonight, but in verse 12, the Bible says this, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. See, God is rich unto all that call upon him, not just a select group of people. The Bible says all. But I'm not preaching about that tonight, but look at verse number 13. Verse, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So how are we saved? Well, we believe, we put our complete trust on Jesus Christ, that there's nothing that we can do to save ourselves, but him that would save us from a penalty of hell. So we believe on Jesus Christ to be saved. We confess with our mouth. We believe in our hearts, right? How's that done? Look at verse number 14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Notice 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You see, we also help people with their faith. That's what we do when we go soul winning. We're helping people come to the knowledge of their Savior, Jesus Christ. Just as we needed help in our faith, someone needed to present the gospel to us as well. So God wants for us to ask for help. You're there in Romans. Turn back with me to Matthew, Romans, Acts, John, Luke, Mark, Matthew. If you go backwards, Matthew chapter 7, because God wants for us also to ask for help. In Matthew chapter 7, look at verse number 7, and the Bible reads, ask, Jesus speaking, ask, starts with an A, and it shall be given you. Seek starts with an S, and ye shall find. Knock with a K, and it shall be open unto you. Ask, seek, knock. Those three letters spell ask. The first three letters, right? God desires to give to those who ask. Verse 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. Well, what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? So God gives help to those who ask for it. Faith requires help. But not only does faith requires help, but faith also can be hurt. Our faith can be hurt in the Christian life, which can also hinder us. Turn with me to Mark chapter 14. The disciples were hurt, and it actually hindered them. Mark chapter 14, Matthew, Mark, the next book over. Mark chapter 14, verse 27, the Bible says this. This is just after the Lord's Supper. Mark 14, verse 27. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Verse 28, Mark 14, verse 28. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Notice the response of Peter and all the disciples. Verse 29. But Peter saith unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise said all they. Drop down for the sake of time to verse 46. We'll see how much they were true to that word. Verse 46, and they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple, teaching, and ye took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they, notice, all forsook him and fled. Verse 51, and also there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth, cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. So when our faith is hurt, it can hinder us. Where's their faith? It hindered them. Drop down to verse 66. This is Peter, who, by the way, was looking from afar off. Verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids, the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, there's one, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And when he went out into the porch, the cock crew. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. There's two. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. There's three. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, notice, he wept. His faith was hurt. It hindered him. There might come a time when our faith is hindered or hurt, for that matter, of a situation with us, maybe a loved one, maybe a brother or sister in church. We know that Peter's faith was hurt, which hindered him, and that he went back to what he knew best. In John 21:3, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible reads, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And likewise, there were disciples that went with him. So he not only... His faith was not only hindered, but the others were hindered as well. But we also know that Jesus appears to his disciples. Here's the evidence, because when Christ came to Peter, he was the first one to jump off the boat, remember, to go towards Jesus. And Jesus restores Peter. He restores his faith three times when he says unto him, Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. You see, his faith is restored. And sometimes you and I might go through things and our faith might need to be restored. So after Peter's faith is restored, we know that he never looks back. 2,000 years later, we're still looking at stories in the Bible about Peter, about his faith, and it's encouraging us even to this day. Even our faith, when it's hurt and hinders us, we know that God establishes his faithfulness. Go to Psalm number 36. Jesus restored Peter's faith because God is faithful, right? Though we might not be faithful all the time, we know God is also faithful. Psalm 36, if you open your Bible to the middle, you're more than likely following Psalms. Psalms 36. We'll see God establishing his faithfulness. Psalm 36. Look at verse number 5. Psalm 36, verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. God is faithful even when we're not. Go to Psalms 89. Psalm 89. God establishes his faithfulness. Psalm 89, verse number 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Verse 5, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Turn to Psalm 119. God's faithfulness is in us as the congregation of his saints. Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, verse number 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. This word, the evidence, thy faithfulness, verse 90, is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. God's word is everlasting. His faithfulness is to all generations. When our faith is hurt, when it hinders us, when we require help in our faith, God is still faithful. So faith requires help. Faith can be hurt. It can be hindered. You know, I'll share this quick story. There's this quote that I have here. I wasn't sure if I was going to go with it, but this faith walk is no cakewalk. This faith walk that we have as Christians, as believers, is not a cakewalk. It's not an easy thing, right? I mean, we know that it requires help. We know that it hinders us. We know that it even stops us at times. I got that quote. Now, I'm ashamed to say it now, but that quote came from a hip-hop artist. I used to be big into hip-hop, you know, back in my time. So when I got saved and I heard of Christian hip-hop, I was like, all right. Best of both worlds, right? Well, here's the problem with that. That has nothing to do with God. You know, that type of thing, you know, David, you know, the guy who wrote more than half the Psalms in the Bible, the guy that the Bible actually calls a man after God's own heart, the only one that he does. You know, David, a man that would not harm Saul even though he was after him. Remember that guy? David himself took the Ark of the Covenant on a new cart from the Philistines. Remember that? 2 Samuel chapter 6, 1 Chronicles chapter 13. He took the Ark of the Covenant and put it on a new cart. Well, what does the Philistines represent? Well, that represents worldliness. That represents false gods. And here comes David, and he leaves it on there. And the Bible says that David danced with his might before the Lord. But you know what? God wasn't even listening. God was not listening so much to a point that someone tried to keep the cart from falling. God struck him down. So what's the point of that? You can't just take a sticker that says Jesus, slap it on anything, and say, okay, it's Christian. You can't do it. Say, oh, and you know what? I influenced a lot of people with that. So I understand that. So, well, what do you do now? Well, I have faith. I have faith that people will actually read what the Bible says. and take it to heart, right? Be like the Bereans, study what the Bible says to see that these things are true, because you can't do that. You can't just take any old new card, slap a Jesus sticker on it, and say, okay, I'm good to go. That's not the case. So this faith walk is no cakewalk. I still like the quote. So teens, if you listen to that, stop. Make your own quote. It'd be a better one. Faith requires help. Faith can be hurt or hindered. Number three, but faith also gives hope. Faith gives hope to others. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. If you kept your place there in Hebrews and go back, you have Philemon, Titus, 2 and 1 Timothy, 2 and 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Remember our verse, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our faith in the things we hope for gives actually hope to others. 1 Thessalonians 3, look at verse number 7. 1 Thessalonians 3, 7, the Bible reads this. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live. If ye stand fast in the Lord, go to Colossians 1:4, just one book back. Even in distress and affliction, we can get hope and comfort from those going through that, through their faith. And isn't that true? When we hear of a brother or sister in their affliction or distress, when we see them stand fast on the word of God, doesn't that bring hope to us? Doesn't that encourage us? Colossians chapter 1, verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. And ye also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, one book backwards, Philippians, Ephesians. So we have Epaphras, a faithful minister who gave hope to others, and now those others are giving hope to Paul because of their faithfulness. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1, chapter 15. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in your prayers. I mean, even today, I don't know about you, but when Brother Nate preached on soul winning a few weeks ago, that gave me hope. That gave me hope and encouragement to say, okay, stay on track. Keep going out. When Brother Matt preached a couple of weeks ago, that gave me hope to be reminded that God's got us. He will see us through. When Brother Jeff preached last week, it gave me hope to be reminded that we have a big God to defeat all sorts of giants. We don't have to worry about anything. God's got us. We need not fear. And Brother Oliver preached just a few nights ago. It gave me hope and reminded me that God has given us all we need. We don't need to look any further. You know, Brother Nate whispered in my ear this afternoon. He said, you know, don't worry, brother. I'll be here with you tonight. And, you know, that kind of like threw me back to when I was, remember that real cool best friend that you have? That just kind of threw me back. Like, man, homie, you got me. Thank you. You know, I'm glad you're here. He was like, I wanted to just tell him, thanks, bro. I got you. But that gave me hope. That gave me encouragement. You know, even just last night, we went to the Di Pasquale's house with some other brothers and sisters. And I know what happens to the Di Pasquale's house stays there. We can't, you know. But it gave me hope because we just had a really good time, you know. I learned a lot about, you know, fires, bears, deers, guns. Oh my. I mean, it was great, you know. If anybody's struggling with fires and putting them out, you know, starting fires, you know, I know a few people you might want to talk to help you with that because but it was great, you know. It was just kind of fellowshipping with people, just listening to their story. And you know what I realized? I'm not really that weird. You know what I mean? You know. But I'm not going to get into detail. I promised that I wouldn't do that. So, But go back to Hebrews 11, if you would. I don't know if you're there. I think you're in Ephesians, but go back to Hebrews. Now, even in this chapter, the faith chapter, as it's called, here in 2020, it gives us hope that so many walk by faith for a hope of something better, right? Hebrews chapter 11, drop down to verse 32. Hebrews 11, verse 32, and what shall I say more? Or what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. These are all stories that we've read that give us hope and it strengthens our faith. But look at verse 39. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. What's our verse? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We might not ever see that hope. We might not ever see it. In your life, in my life, we might not see the things that we're hoping for on this earth, but notice verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So we might not receive what we ask for. You know, sometimes we ask for sickness for people, and sometimes the Lord calls them home. It can hurt us, but aren't they in a better place? But we have something better, and that's in Him. What is it? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, in verse number 1, the Bible reads, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our what? Faith." You see, the hope is Jesus. The hope we can bring to others is Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." See, when we lose hope, when our faith is hurt, when our faith needs help, we can look to Jesus, lest we be worried. Faith requires help. Faith can be hurt, can be hindered. Faith gives hope to others. And finally tonight, faith is honoring to God. Faith is honoring to God. Turn one page back to 11, Hebrews 11. And look at verse number 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." You see, we can't please God without faith. Why is it a big deal? We can't please Him. Go to Psalms 14. I don't know if I asked you to keep your place there. I meant to. But if you can go back to Psalms, still keep your place there in Hebrews. But go to Psalms number 14. Psalms chapter 14. So without faith, we can't please God. Psalms chapter 14, look at verse number 1. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Well, obviously you can't please Him unless you believe that there's a God. "They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand." And notice, seek God. Diligently seek Him, remember? Go to Psalm 51. So God is looking for us to diligently seek Him. Psalm 51. Psalm 51 and verse number 15. Psalm 51, verse 15. "O Lord, open Thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth Thy praise. For Thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise." Turn to Psalm 69. When our faith is hurt, when our faith needs help, we're of a broken spirit. God desires that. That's a great time to come to God. We can turn to God. He will not despise us. He delights in our faith towards him. Psalm 69, look at verse 30. Psalm 69, 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord. What shall please him? Praising him, magnifying him. Remember, the strong belief in God. Better than ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. Remember, without faith we cannot please him. Verse 32. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. Remember, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So it takes faith to seek God, to seek that which you cannot see, to hope in that which you cannot see. Turn back to Hebrews 13. While you turn there, I'm going to read for you from Luke 18, because even Jesus desires us to have faith. He's actually looking for faith. In Luke 18, verse number 6, the Bible reads, says this, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge him speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? See, God is looking for faith. Hebrews 13, look at verse 15. So by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You see, it takes faith to offer up praise unto God. But it's also the fruit of our lips. Verse 16, but to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. See, without faith, we cannot please God. So what do we see? Well, we saw that faith requires help. Our faith can be hindered. It can be hurt. Our faith brings hope. Faith honors God. So in conclusion, what is faith? Well, we saw the Bible definition that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How do we get victory through faith? Turn with me to Ephesians. We're going to look at a couple of passages in Ephesians and 1 John, and then we'll finish up in Hebrews. So Ephesians real quick. I want to give you three quick thoughts on victory through faith, right? We sung that today. Faith is a victory, oh glorious victory that overcomes the world. But faith gives us victory. How? Well, faith gives us victory, number one, in salvation. If you're saved, you've already won. You know, you're saved. You're going to heaven. So faith through victory. Look at Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith through salvation. For faith also gives us victory over the wicked. Ephesians chapter 6. We studied this a couple of weeks ago with the pastor. I'm not going to spend too much time there, but notice Ephesians 6:16. Notice these first two words. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So faith gives us victory over the wicked. Faith gives us victory through salvation, gives us victory over the wicked, but faith also gives us victory over the world. Turn to 1 John. You start at the end of the Bible, Revelation, Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Faith gives us victory over the world. 1 John 5, look at verse 4. 1 John 5, 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So faith gives us victory through salvation. Faith gives us victory over the wicked. Faith gives us victory over the world. So it doesn't matter what happens to us. Now, that's not to say we're not going to need help. That's not to say that we're not going to get hurt. That's not to say that we're not going to be hindered. But when we think about the evidence, the Bible, what the Bible says, At the end of the day, we know where we're going. That's victory. That's victory. Go back to Hebrews. We'll finish up here. So the question tonight is, how's your faith? They need help. Where's your faith? Is it hurting right now? Is it hindering you? Is your faith giving hope to others? Or do we have faith now where it's pleasing and honoring to God? Remember, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, when we begin to need help, the answer is Jesus. When we begin to be hurt or hindered, the answer is Jesus. When we look to honor, the answer is Jesus. We'd be honoring him. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, the joy set for us is him. That's our faith. That's the end of our faith, is him. But we might not, you know, we might not see what we're praying for, David. We might not see our children or whatever it is. But we have the evidence that tells us at the end of the day where our faith is, with God. 1 Timothy 6:12 says this, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, that's through Jesus, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So faith, what is it? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, that's Jesus. The evidence of things not seen, that's his word. We know the end of the book. So where's our faith? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach here in this church, Lord. I pray for all the folks that are in Fresno, especially for Pastor, Lord. Please be with him as he preaches there. Please be with all our brothers and sisters that are there. Bring them home safely tonight, Lord, and continue to strengthen our brother Jared and his family, Lord. And I pray for anyone here whose faith might be hurt or who's needing help in their faith, Lord. That you would fill them. Pray that we would continue to encourage each other, giving each other hope, Lord, through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.